In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. Volume 19, 527-26. Louisa says, I was doing my usual acts in the supreme will of God, and an inaccessible light enveloped my little being. It made as though present to me all the works of my Creator, and I had an I love you for each created thing, a motion for each motion, an adoration and a thank you of gratitude for all creation. You see what God is going to do? We're going to enter into this. Okay, as you're doing your usual acts, you'll be entering into inaccessible light. See, God, you're going to be very surprised at how much God loves you. You're going to enter into this, okay? Because this is not just for Louisa, it's for us too. It made as though present to me all the works of my God, and I had an I love you for each created thing. So every heartbeat, every breath is an I love you. For a motion for each motion, an adoration, a thank you, a gratitude for all of creation. However, I comprehended that it was the light itself that administered to me that I love you for each thing, that motion and adoration. And I was just prey to that light. While it enlarged me, it made me smaller and did whatever it wanted with my littleness. Now what will happen too is in your prayer, you will become, if you're in a cathedral, you will fill that cathedral, okay? You also at the same instant, you'll become an atom. You'll be smaller than an atom in your nothingness. Yeah, at the same time, you'll be filled with the presence of God. Okay, this is what she's talking about. What the Lord is asking is that we let Him have His way with us. Lord Jesus, if you want me to be as small as an atom, fiat, let me know my nothingness. Lord Jesus, if you want me to be filled with your presence, fiat, fill me with your presence. See, you're going to experience things that the saints only dreamed of. Why? Because what Jesus is giving to Louisa is divinity. What Jesus gave to the saints was a saintly humanity. So it says very clearly, it'll make you smaller, and it did whatever it wanted, or it'll make you enlarged. Now, while I was in this day, I was sorrowful because I could not see my sweet Jesus. And I thought to myself, Jesus has left me in this blessed light. I do not know where to turn to in my steps in order to find him, because one can see neither where this light begins or where the light ends. And, oh, holy light, let me find Jesus, who is my whole life, Jesus, my highest good. But while I was pouring myself out because of the pain of the privation of Jesus, all goodness, he came out from within my interior. We have to understand that. Where is Jesus? He's in the interior of Louisa. This is why the Vatican can say, the son of my will, Louisa Picaretta. He came out from within my interior. And in all tenderness, he told me, my daughter Louisa, why do you fear? I do not leave you. And it's the same thing for us. When things get difficult, Jesus says this to us, why are you fearing? Jesus says, I do not leave you. Rather, it is my supreme will that eclipses me within you. The light of my divine will is endless, infinite. Its boundaries cannot be found, neither where it begins nor where it ends. On the other hand, my holy humanity does have its boundaries, its limits, and therefore, since my holy humanity is smaller than my eternal will, I remain enwrapped as in though eclipsed within it. And while I am with you, I give you the field of action to my divine will. I enjoy its divine operating in the littleness of your soul. And I, God, prepare a new lesson to give you. So every time you go back to reading, God has prepared a new lesson for you. To make known to you more and more the wonders of my supreme will. See, this isn't goodness. This isn't holiness. This isn't saintliness. This is what we know, what the saints have gone through. Jesus is saying, I want you to enter into the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, the wonders of my supreme will. Therefore, when you swim in the divine will, be certain that I am God with you. Even more, I do what you do together with you in order to give it complete field of action. I, God, remain as though hidden in you to enjoy its fruits. Now, my daughter, you must know. And the reason that's underlined, you must know. This is a command from Jesus. There's a book you must know. And it's a good book to pray because he's telling us over and over again. We have to know this. It's to know God, love God, and serve God as the saints. But in the divine will, it's to know God, it's to love God, and to possess God in the divine will. So this is why this is underlined. You must know that true light is not separable. Look, the sun, in the atmosphere, also has its prerogative and possesses the unity of light. The light is so compacted together with its sphere, within its sphere, as to lose not one atom, even though it descends down below, filling the whole earth with light. The light never separates. It is so compact within itself, united, not separable, that it never loses anything of its solar light, so much so that altogether it spreads its rays, dispelling where everywhere the darkness from the earth, and altogether with it withdraws its light, leaving not even the trace of its atoms. He says, if the light of the sun were divisible, for how long would that sun have been poor in light, having no more strength to illuminate all the earth? One can say, divided light, desolate earth. I know what you mean. And so the sun can sing victory, and it possesses all its strength and its effects, thanks to the unity of the light. If the earth receives so many admirable and innumerable effects, to the point that the sun can be called the life of the earth, everything comes from the unity of the light it possesses, which, after so many centuries, has lost not even one atom of light which was entrusted to it by God. Therefore, the sun is always triumphant. The sun is majestic, fixed. The sun is always stable in its light, in singing the praises of the triumph and the glory of the eternal light of God. Now, my daughter, the sun is the symbol of my eternal will. If this symbol possesses the unity of light, much more so does my divine will. So here Jesus says, the sun is the symbol of my eternal will. The Vatican says, the sun of my will, divine will, is Luisa Picaretta. You have to understand what the Vatican is telling us. They're like, when we were in Corrado in April, the cardinal who was speaking said, the Vatican wants these writings out. They're urgent to have these writings go to all the world. This is very, very important for us to understand. This is not by happenstance. It's not just by chance. This is planned by God. And the theologians who have read this, who have studied this, realize very clearly, the symbol of my divine will is the sun. Luisa is the sun of my divine will. He says, much more so does my divine will, since it is not a symbol, but a reality of light. While the sun can be called the budding of the inaccessible light of my divine will, and you, Luisa, have seen its divine immensity, how one does not see a globe of light like the sun, but the vastness such that the human eye cannot arrive at seeing where it ends or where it begins. Yet, all this endlessness of light is one single act of the eternal will of God. See, we're going to enter into this light. And all this uncreated light is so compacted together as to become inseparable and indivisible, and more so than sun. It possesses the eternal unity in which the triumph of God and all of our works is founded. Now, this triumph of the unity of the supreme will, the center of its dwelling place, of its throne, is the center of the Holy Trinity, the sacrosanct Trinity. Now, that goes back to Volume 17, May 4th, 1925. Jesus says that the Father wanted the reflection of the Holy Trinity on earth. And then Jesus says, this is the reflection of the Holy Trinity on earth. From this divine center, it starts its most refulgent rays, which invest the whole of the celestial fatherland. All the saints and all the angels are invested by the unity of my divine will, and they all receive its innumerable effects, abducting them all to itself. And it makes of them one single unity with the supreme unity of my divine will. These rays invest the whole of creation and forms its unity with the soul who lives in my divine will. See, you participate in this gift. You become one with God. Jesus says, when you put a drop of water into that ocean, that drop of water becomes the ocean. Everything that the drop of water has is in the ocean. It participates in everything in the ocean. It's the same thing with us. As we enter into this light, we become one with God. We don't become God, but everything that God has is ours. What we have is God's. These rays invest the whole of creation, form its unity with the soul who lives in my divine will. Look, the unity of light of my divine will, which resides in the center of the three divine persons, is already fixed in you, Louisa. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? He never said this about any saint. He says, the unity of this light of my divine will, which resides in the center of the three divine persons, is already fixed in you, Louisa. So one is the light, and one is the act, one is the divine will. Now, while you, Louisa, do your acts in this unity of light, they are already incorporated in the single act of the center, and the divinity is already within you, Louisa, doing what you do. That's the likeness of God. The image of God comes to us through holy baptism. The likeness of God to do what God does is what we're learning in this great gift of the divine will. A friend of mine, when he went back to Ireland with his father left when he was a young man, came to the United States, had a family, and one of his sons who was in the seminary brought his father back to Ireland. And that morning, the next morning, he's walking down the street going to Holy Mass, and this man on the porch yells out, he goes, "Are you a Murphy?" And he goes, "Yes, I'm a Murphy." "How do you know I'm a Murphy?" He goes, "You walk like your father." See, the likeness of God is coming. Even though that man had not seen his father for over 20 years, he remembered what he was like. Image and likeness. We're going to be like God. Not just a holy sanctity, but to be in God's image and likeness. This is why we were created. He says, the celestial mama, the saints, the angels, and the whole of creation, all in course, repeat your act. They all feel the same effects of the supreme will that you do, Louisa. Watch, listen to the prodigy never before seen of that single act which fills both heaven and earth. The very Trinity unifying itself with the center and placing itself as the primary act of the soul, of the creature, Louisa. See, we're to participate in everything that Jesus and Mary did, with all the angels and saints have done. This, Jesus says, has never been seen before. It was seen in Adam, but with a new Adam and the new Eve, the first one that has done this is Louisa. At that moment, I could see the eternal light fixed in me. I could hear the choirs of the whole of heaven and all of creation with its mute language. But who can say everything when I comprehended of the unity of the light of the supreme will? Jesus added, "My daughter, in order for each act to be good and holy, its origin must come from God. And behold, for the soul, Louisa, who lives in my divine will, Louisa, who lives in the unity of this light, Louisa's adoration, Louisa's love, Louisa's motion, and everything Louisa may do, begin from the divine Trinity." This is not what St. Francis did. This is not what St. Clair did. Everything that Louisa does begins from the divine Trinity. So Louisa receives the origin of her acts from God himself. And here is how Louisa's adoration, Luis's love, Luis's motion are the same adoration as the three divine persons have among themselves. That's God's likeness to do what God does. They have the same reciprocal love which reigns amongst the Father, reigns among the Son, reigns among the Holy Spirit. And her motion, that is eternal motion which never ceases and gives motion to everyone, past, present, and future. The unity of this light places everything in common. Whatever God does, Luisa does. And the soul's linked to Luisa. That's what God wants to teach us. Whatever God does, God wants us to do. Whatever the soul does, God does. God by His own virtue, the soul by the virtue of the unity of the light that envelops her. Therefore, the prodigy of living in my divine will is the prodigy of God Himself. It is the primary prodigy, while all the other prodigies, all the other works, even good and holy ones, remain eclipsed. They disappear before the acts done in the unity of the light of the divine will. This is why St. Padre Pio said, the world and the church is going to focus on Luisa Picaretta and the divine will in the third millennium. Focus on Luisa. You get a high-powered rifle, get a high-powered telescope, you have everything around you, but you're focused on one thing. That is what St. Padre Pio said, what the world and the church is going to do with Luisa. We're going to discover who Luisa is, and we're going to be astonished by what God has done with the soul. Not only that, but the soul is saying to us, would you want this gift that God gave to me? And all we say is, fiat, I don't know how you're going to do it, but fiat, I want what you gave to Luisa. I want to know these truths. I want to read these truths. I want to possess these truths that you taught Luisa. That's all God is waiting for. So he says, imagine the sun spreading its rays in the unity of its light, invading all the earth, and then the creatures placing before of the blazing light of the sun all the lights that exist in the low world, electric light, private lights, as many as they would want to put there, their light would always be a meager light before the sun, almost as if they did not exist. And no one would use all those lights to give light to their steps in order to walk, to their hands in order to work, to their eyes in order to see. But all would use the sun, and all those lights would remain idle without doing good to anyone. Now Jesus is going to tell us about Luisa and the saints. He says, such are all the other works which are not done in the unity of the light of my divine will. What the saints have done cannot compare to what Jesus has done with Luisa. They are like little lights before the great sun, one almost does not notice. However, those very lights which are useless, which make no impression and do no good when the sun is present, once the sun disappears, acquire their little value, do their little good. They are lights in the darkness of the night. They serve the work of man. However, they are never sun, nor can they do the great good which the sun can do. And yet, the purpose of creation was that, all things having come out from within the unity of this light, the supreme fiat, all should have remained in the unity of it. Only the souls, the creatures, did not want to recognize this purpose. When he went out of the unity of the light, when Adam went out of the unity of the light of the Son of my divine will, and Adam reduced himself from begging for the effects of this light, almost as the earth begs its vegetation and develops the seeds and hides it in the womb from the sun. What sorrow, my daughter, to reduce oneself from a king to a beggar. That's what Adam did. He was king of the earth. Adam was lord of the earth. And then he became a slave to sin. And Jesus came as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Why? To give back to man the royal garments, the divine nobility that God breathed into Adam, to beg from those which were to be at his service. All afflicted and sorrowful, Jesus kept silent. And I, Luisa, comprehended all the sorrow that pierced him. I, Luisa, could feel his sorrow within me, penetrating deep into the innermost fibers of my soul, But I wanted to cheer Jesus at any cost, so I returned to my usual acts in the unity of his divine will, knowing that Jesus easily passed from sorrow to joy when my littleness dives into the inaccessible light of his most holy divine will. And Jesus loved together with me, and I loved, and love healed his sorrow. And he resumed his speaking. My daughter Louisa, since I am raising you in my divine will, oh, please do not want ever to give me the sorrow so piercing of going out of the unity of the light of my supreme will. Fiat, promise me, swear that you will always be the newborn of my divine will. Now that, Jesus is also saying that to us. He says, I am raising you to be linked to Louisa in my divine will. Oh, please do not want to ever give me this sorrow, so piercing, of going out of the unity of the light of my supreme will. Promise me, Jesus says, swear that you will always be the newborn in my divine will. Louisa, my love, be consoled. I promise, I swear, and you must promise me to keep me always in your arms and sunken in your divine will. You must never leave me if you want me to always, always be the little daughter of your divine will. For I tremble and I fear myself more so, since the more you speak about the supreme volition, the more I feel that I am no good and nothing of my and nothingness of my nothing makes itself felt more. Sighing, Jesus added, my daughter, feeling your nothingness more does not oppose the living in my divine will. On the contrary, it is your duty to live in your nothingness. All of my works are formed over nothing, and this is why the All can do what he wants. If the Son had reason and someone asked it, what good do you do? What are your effects? How much light and heat do you contain? It would answer, I do nothing. I just know that the light given to me by God is invested with the supreme will, and I do whatever it wants. I extend wherever it wants. I produce the effects that it wants. And while I do so much, I remain always nothing. And the divine will does everything in me. The same for all my other works. All their glory is to remain in their nothingness in order to give the whole field to my divine will, to let the divine will operate. Only man wanted to do without the divine will of his God. Only man wanted to make his nothingness operate, believing himself to be good, good at something, and the all, feeling himself placed after the nothing, went out of man, who reduced himself from superior of all to inferior of all. Therefore, let your nothingness be always at the mercy of my divine will, if you want the unity of its light to operate in you, and call the purpose of creation back to new life. That's what we're doing. We're calling back the purpose of creation back to new divine life. It's not to be little anymore. It's not to be nothing anymore. It's to live in the littleness, to be nothing so God can be everything. It's not just trying to do this. It's to do it. What God is asking is that we enter into his into our nothingness so that he can reign in us. Come, Lord Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Come, Lord Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Come, Lord Jesus, walk in my walking. See, it's to let God have his way with us. When you begin to live this, it's not trying to do this anymore, but it's doing it. It's to begin to live this. Our God loves us so much, and all that he wants of us to do is to really begin to give our fiat. So let us end with a prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.